So tonight I'm in Dalkeith with Bethan Townsend, who's agreed to speak to me today. So thank you very much, Bethan.
Thank you for having me.
The first question is, where did we first meet?
I don't know if I can remember. I think you were saying I was about 6 or 7, wasn't
I? I think we must have come to visit you. I have memories of coming to visit you with our two girls.
That sounds,
at some point, when everybody was still quite wee. But I think, so that would have probably been the first time. And the reason I remember is because, now you can put me right on this if I'm wrong. I think you two were quite fussy eaters when you were little.
That's still sort of true.
And our two were quite fussy eaters as well. So it's quite nice for us to go to a house where someone else had fussy eaters. So we didn't feel quite so that. It was just nice to go and meet some, be with other people who knew what that was like. So, yeah. So I think it was a fussy eaters. There was some discussion about what people might eat. So, do you drink tea?
I don't, actually. I've been meaning to. Yeah. I should really start. I think it would be good. I think I might try and go down the route of like more herbal or minty or fruity teas to start with. Not sure.
Yes, so Iona only drinks chai tea, but she likes chai.
I did. I had a chai latte at my work. They made it for me, and I really like it. It's nice, actually. So, that might be the route.
So, but Iona uses chai tea bags and doesn't make it as sweet, so she just does chai tea bag and then a little bit of milk and a little bit of sugar, so it's not so kind of, you know, the latte's really kind of rich, but similar sort of taste. So that might be it.
Yeah.
How do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
Well, I think in terms of that statement, obviously Christianity is still the main faith here, and it's been here for a long time, especially with history and things. So I wouldn't say it was dying, but I do sometimes feel, you know, especially going to a Catholic high school, so many people would say, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic, but they weren't. They just, it was sort of a title they had. You know, it was sort of a, if I say this, you know, I'm good. And I maybe believe in it, but there was no acting on it. There was no behaving like one. There was no practicing, that sort of thing. So I've seen that sort of area, and I have been in churches where it has been a sort of routine thing and there has been no soul in them, which is sad, but you know, I do think sometimes you know, it is a sort of, it becomes routine, and sometimes you just want God to sort of put something in to shake it up, or, you know, be like, hi, I'm here still. But I think, you know, especially in youth, I feel like that is a big area where it's still very much alive. I mean, I my church go to PowerPoint a lot, especially when I was younger. I mean, there was one time they had to do the sermon twice because so many people came, they couldn't fit everybody in the church. So they did half an hour and then people swapped over. So, you know, I think that it's still very much alive, especially in young people.
It's interesting because Thomas, who I've just spoken to, felt that maybe that the younger people were more interested when their parents were indifferent. I don't know whether you kind of see that with the youth that you're working alongside.
It could be. I think going back to the Catholic side, you know, a lot of people went to church with their parents who were sort of going through the motions. And because of it, you know, there were a lot of people who, because it was sort of a Catholic primary sort of setting, there'd be a lot of people that would be altar servers and do it and then think, oh, I don't want to do this, and just walk away from church because of something like that. I'm very fortunate that my stepmom and dad are very, very good at, they've brought us up in a way that faith's always been, you know, all around, but in a different way, I suppose. I think that could be right, because I've met a lot of people that have discovered it on their own, and it's been their thing, and it's been really personal, which sometimes helps, you know. I think sometimes, if it isn't so much, it's a choice rather than you have to, you know. So yeah, I agree with that.
So you get my youth specialist questions, which are, what do you think are the biggest challenges facing young people today?
Honestly, I think I did a short time of helping to lead my youth group, and I decided to focus on things like relationships and stuff in high school. And the two biggest things that came up so much were conforming with people and, you know, the whole relationship side. I know that I've seen so many people, and I know so many people who, even though they're Christian, will stay with a group because it is so much easier than saying, you know, if everybody's, you know, upset or, you know, having a moan about a specific person, you know, it's easy to go, yeah, they, you know, they are annoying, and completely, you know, it's so simple to do that than going, I don't really feel comfortable about doing this, because then everyone goes, why? You know, and you do get that pressure. So I think being able to do that, especially in a high school environment, is difficult. You know, I didn't know people that were Christian for a while, because, you know, if people asked in school who's Christian, it was I don't want to put my hand up, you know. Unless it was, you know, I'm Catholic, and then everyone's like, oh yeah, me too, you know. So I could do that, but it would be then hard if people go, so what are you? To go, well, actually, I'm sort of this rather than this. So I think, yeah, that sort of thing's been difficult. And then, yeah, I think relationships as well, because, you know, the Bible is written in a certain way, you know. I certainly have found it hard to sort of look at what God wants and now and think, where does it fit with what's going on, you know, especially now. So I think, yeah, especially relationships, even with people, you know, if, you know, you fancy someone and then, you know, they're not Christian, and you think, is this a good idea? Is this what God wants? And then if he doesn't, you know, are you still going to do it? You know, there's always that thing that crosses your mind if God goes, I don't think this is a good idea, and you go, but, you know, I love this person, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to, you know, ask them out or whatever, and then you can end up getting hurt. So, yeah, I think those things, it's difficult, but as I said to the kids, I said, you know, it is so, just pray, just ask, just listen to what he's saying. Try your best not to think what you want. You know, he might not give you the answer you want, but, you know, he's seen what's going to happen. So, yeah, I suppose.
So, acting is a big part of your life. And I know you've got some plans or ideas about how that's going to work out for you. So I wonder whether you want to share some of your journey about that.
Yeah, so I suppose it started, obviously I come from a creative family. You know, my granny used to be a dancer, and my mum was storyteller, singer, all these different things. My dad was musical. So I came up with a creative background, but I think I have always struggled with anxiety. We found out it's actually hereditary. My mum and my granny have had it too. So I'm well briefed on how to deal with it. But acting was such a good way. It doesn't always work for people with anxiety, but I think it was the fact that you can be somebody else just for a minute, and you don't have to think about what you would do because you know what they're going to do. And you can almost come out of whatever's going on with yourself and be this person and feel how they feel. So that was a big confidence. And to stand up on a stage, but no, it wasn't me. I wasn't being judged. I was being someone else. I think as a young, a wee one, helped me a lot. But now, especially with universities, I've always been asked, you know, what does acting mean to you? And I just think it's really important because, I mean, you know, you can look from the outside as a Christian and think this is such a, you know, personal job. Where's God in all this? I've always seen it as such a good way to illustrate to other people how other people feel, how other people see the world. You know, you can be so like moved by watching something, or, you know, if you see, you know, something like Schindler's List, you see that that's happened in the past, that makes you think, you know, that like how bad it was, so that things like this will not happen again. Even things like, you know, so many people loved The Prince of Egypt at school, you know, this cartoon about, you know, about Moses. And I just, you know, these sort of things, they do have power in them. And also I've been inspired by, you know, it's difficult because a lot of women in acting have to be a certain thing or do certain scenes or, you know, be a certain way, which I've always found difficult. But I was reading an article about Black Panther, and one of the ladies was 28 and this was her first big thing, and she was highly acclaimed for it, and she's gotten all these offers, and she was saying how she was Christian and she'd given her life, and then she'd gotten this huge movie role and they'd asked her to be nude in it, and she'd said, look, I don't think this is a good idea, you know, I'm Christian, and she just didn't feel right. And they were saying, you know, but this is a huge opportunity, you're missing out, and it was a huge film, and she chose not to, and that would have been horrible. You know, if you've been working for years, get this break and you don't do it, you know, and she's really struggling. But then she waited a couple months and she got this movie opportunity, which turned her into a star, and she got to keep her Christian values and stay loyal. So things like that, I think, you know, that's really interesting. But yeah, for me, I did a few auditions. It's not the most fun. There's a lot of travelling, there's a lot of waiting. So last year I got into a school in America to do acting. It was the last place that I auditioned for. The first school, I just was getting nowhere. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? This isn't for me. And then by some stroke of luck, they liked me. But I thought I needed to defer because it was a lot of money. And unfortunately, they don't do full scholarship. So spent a year sort of working full time, which was a bit rubbish because all my friends were at uni, you know, going out and, you know, 9 to 5. But I think I didn't manage to raise the funds. But to be honest, I think this year has allowed me to grow so much as a person, like getting out of high school and just working towards something, you know. And a part of it was I put on a fundraiser, which was a show that I sort of organised myself. I did, you know, everything from choreography to helping my friends, like to choosing stuff, to getting the venue. And it was one of the proudest, the most proud things I've ever done, you know, to actually look and think, I actually just did that whole thing myself. Because a lot of the time in school, I was part of drama and things, but I was never really at the front, which from a selfish point of view, I thought, I want to be at the front, you know, I want to be. And I'm also, I do like to work at something and then for it to work, and it's the satisfaction you get. So to do that was really, really cool. But now at the moment, the other school that I really wanted to get into, I got really close. I got right to the end, but I didn't get a place. And that was pretty hard because that was, you know, the next best thing. That was it. That was the dream. And my sister's going there at weekends next year for music, so we'd be able to see each other, all this kind of thing. And then to not get it, and then to have to tell everybody who'd been supporting me, you know, oh, how did it go? And you just think, oh, I'm going to have to tell you that I didn't do it. But I actually felt so at peace with it, I think. I think it's just the right thing. To be fair, it's one school who I'm just not what they're looking for yet. And I've got lots of time. I always think Morgan Freeman was 52 before he became famous. You know, I've got time. But I think, yeah, the struggle is now, what am I going to do with this year? You know, I need to do something. I don't want to waste the year doing something that isn't going to get me anywhere. But again, that's something I genuinely just have to let God tell me where to go, honestly. So yeah, that's basically me in a nutshell.
So my other question really is how has growing up in a Christian family helped you? How has it been difficult?
That my mum and dad, they were both not brought up in Christian households. They both found God and Jesus in different ways. I can't remember how my dad found God. That might be a question for him. But my mum, I know that she went through really tough times as a kid. And just there was a lot of emotions. And she said that she was in a bar one night and she was telling everybody how the Salvation Army were coming around at the time. And she was going, yeah, Jesus was just a really good magician. Yeah, he knew how to work a crowd. And everyone was like, yeah. And this one person said to her, you keep telling people that. And she said she felt so scared at that moment he just left. She was like, who on earth was that? And she felt really like, I've just said something terrible here. And then, you know, months passed on and she started getting really, you know, suicidal basically. She went, I'm just gonna go. So she went to basically jump in front of a bus and she said she saw this huge head in the sky. It said, phone your brother. And she said, instead of being like, oh my goodness, she said, well, I don't want it. He's a Christian. But she did, and she just said, can I come to your church? And he was like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe, you know, I've been praying for you for years. Brought her to church, and then she closed her eyes for 5 minutes, woke up, service was over, and she gave, you know, that was it. And while she closed her eyes, she said she saw Jesus, and he literally was like, are you coming? Like, this is it, you either come or you don't, this is the decision. And she did, and you know, was so strong in her faith all through her cancer and everything. She was so, like, I think that's what kept her going so much. In everything she did, she would refer back to her faith, how it was keeping her going. And I always think, you know, because of that, I mean, she lasted so much longer than they all said. The doctors were always like, I can't believe how well you're doing. And at the end, it wasn't the cancer's killing me, it was, I'm tired, I want to go now, I want to go home. And she went at the right time, you know. So it was really, I think it was, faith was really there. But yeah, growing up in a Christian household, I mean, we would read Bible stories, but I think we were always just told about how amazing Jesus was. I think there was no sort of rules and stuff like that. There was, but you know, we would sit, we'd cuddle up and we'd read David and Goliath and we'd be like, that's so cool, you know. And you know, Adam and Eve, and you know, Jesus was this, Jesus loves me, you know. And it was stored in us, and we liked the songs, and you got to wave flags, and it was a good place, I think, as a kid. And then, you know, to what, when, as you get older, you start to really learn about what happened, and that's when I suppose you choose. And I think you do, as a Christian who's grown up around Christianity, go through a time where you just think, I'm done with it, I don't care. And I know that I did. Just through a certain point in high school, things were just not good, and I just thought, I'm so done. But I realised that I was angry at God. I didn't not believe in him, and I think that was a big milestone for me, because, you know, I was being like, oh, I'm so fed up with you, why are you letting all this happen to me? And I was like, well, if he doesn't exist, I won't be mad. You know, I'm actually speaking to him as I'm, you know, being all angry and, you know, having tantrums and everything. So, you know, I think that's where I thought, you know what, no, there is somebody there. And looking back at so many things and seeing how God's, like, how he's there. And also things like going to PowerPoint at Soul Survivor, you know, we had opportunities to go. We had a good church and a youth group. We could go regularly. And taking us to things like PowerPoint and, you know, I met friends at school that, you know, knew my parents and who also had the same view of Christianity as I did, which was really helpful. And think, yeah, going to prayer point and just feeling so like, yeah, this is right. But I think, I don't know if I would have discovered it on my own, because I do like science quite a lot and facts and things. And it's quite difficult to look to be in a chemistry class or a physics class and things and think, right, okay, I know what you're saying, but I kind of believe this. But yeah, I think we were fortunate that our parents spent a lot of time just talking about the love side, and you know, Jesus loves you, and you can talk to God whenever you want, and praying with us before bed, you know, and saying, you know, let the angels watch over you. And as a little girl, if there's angels watching over you, you get excited, you know, you think, oh my gosh, you know. So yeah, I think it can be difficult if you do think, because people go through that time where they do rebel out, and it's whether they come back or not. And I have known people who have grown up in the same sort of upbringing as me, who have just left it, who've just, you know, been like, no, I don't really do that anymore. And you know, you think, is that why, or is it, you know, is it something else? So, but yeah, I think for me, it's been good. I think it's made the family safe and like strong, I think, for me. So
good. The last question, the roundup question, is what is your favourite thing that begins with T?
This is difficult. I was thinking of a lot of different foods, to be honest. Oh man, this is really hard.
It has genuinely proved the most difficult question for anybody to even have a stab at, usually.
I'm going to say toast. For a few reasons, which I'm forming now. So, one, wakes you up in the morning. You feel better if you've had to get up early, if you've had toast. Two, whenever we do a show, me and my sister, get home late, but we'd need something because we're so hungry, because you can't eat before a show or it just comes back. So, we get home and we'd have a bit of toast, or peanut butter toast, or Nutella toast, and it just was like the relaxation after the show. So, yep, and it's easy to make. I can be half asleep and make it. I don't have to worry about flames or anything. So, yeah, I will go with toast, I think.
Excellent. I'm quite jealous, because I love toast, but it's not the same with gluten-free bread, which I have to eat now.
Oh, really?
It's just, you can get gluten-free bread that looks beautiful, but it's not quite the same. So there we go. I'm still working on that. When I go back to work, I'll try some more bread recipes. So Bethan, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you for listening to me.